Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. We begin with Allah's name. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Nasta'inu, nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi azza wa jalla. سبحانه اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا اله غيرك. We begin with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. All the praise is due the Creator, Almighty God, Allah. We ask Him for help. We turn to Him for forgiveness. We believe and we trust in Him. Mighty and sublime is He. Praise be to Allah. Glory is to you, O Allah. And to you is the praise. And blessed is your name and there is none to be worshipped besides you. Amen. Assalamu alaikum. That is peace be unto you, the peace that only Almighty God can give. We welcome you once more to the airways of American Muslim 360 for the broadcast of the Female Solution, hosted by yours truly, Kareem Hamid and Latifa, Naima Latif, the executive director and producer of the Female Solution. Praise be to Almighty God. I'm awaiting her on the studio board, but let me share with you at this time some important public service announcements as we await our beloved host, Naima Latif. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Mark your calendars for the 2023 Muslim Journals, A Time to Be Grateful, coming to Newark, New Jersey, December 7th through the 10th. A Time to Be Grateful is MJ's annual fundraiser to raise awareness about the publication and increase subscriptions, advertisements, and distributors. ATTBG features a weekend of events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development, including Culture Night, which showcases Muslim singers, musicians, and spoken word artists, a modest yet ultra-stylish family fashion show luncheon, an awards banquet, business breakfast, marketplace with Muslim vendors, and more. Don't wait. Get your tickets today. Visit www.masjidalhaq.com or call 862-250-5451. Hope to see you there.
Alhamdulillah, we look forward to a successful Time to Be Grateful held in Newark, New Jersey on this coming Saturday. We are canceling our regular scheduled broadcast. We shall broadcast live from A Time to Be Grateful, beginning at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our beloved Martha Nala Abdullah, the executive director of the Community-Wide Shura Conference, and Latifa Hamid, the CEO of American Muslim 360, will be broadcasting live from A Time to Be Grateful, interviewing attendees to this wonderful celebration, and also keeping us abreast of what is happening at the wonderful event, A Time to Be Grateful. So we shall broadcast that live here on American Muslim 360 from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Alhamdulillah, all the praise is due to Almighty God, Allah. I'm awaiting my co-host, Naima Latif. She shall give us the subject matter of today's circumstance or situation that we will hopefully provide excellent commentary and also solutions to the myriad of circumstances and situations that the human being is confronted with at this time. Praise be to Almighty God. You are listening to The Female Solution. It is hosted by Naima Latif and yours truly, Kareem Hamid. I ask you to let me share with you another important public service announcement. I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the preacher Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
And we are back, I believe. My co-host is with us at this time. I'm opening up
Radio.
The mic.
Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
And that is what the
Soul Book Fair does. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Host Kareem Hamid and our guest today, Asada.
Assalamu alaikum, Naima. Join us shortly. She arranges things on her end. We patiently await her. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. For my co-host, Naima Latif. As I stated earlier, we shall preempt regular broadcast time this coming Saturday for the A Time to Be Grateful that will be held in Newark, New Jersey. We shall broadcast live from A Time to Be Grateful from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. this coming Saturday. And there is also another schedule of broadcast from A Time to Be Grateful, and I have further information as later on as we move forward. But we are preempting regular broadcast time to broadcast live from A Time to Be Grateful, beginning at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. Assalamu alaikum, Naima. Your mic is open. I'm not hearing you, Naima. Let me share this public service announcement with you.
Unmuted.
And we are back, and we are now joined by our host, Kareem Hamid, on our American Muslim 360 channel. And Kareem, can you hear us now?
Yes, I hear you now.
Wonderful. This was a day of great challenges, but as always, we overcome them because today's guest is somebody we all need to know. She is a powerhouse of a woman. And if you are listening online and want to join us visually, you can go to The Female Solution on Facebook or The Female Solution on YouTube, and you will see the beautiful face of the woman I'm about to bring on the screen, who is the founder of the Soulful Chicago Book Fair, ASADA. Thank you for joining us.
Yes.
Well, I'm always delighted to see your beautiful face and to hear the dynamic work you're doing. And we're so blessed that you've done this work right here in Chicago, where people have a chance to meet authors, not just from around the city or even around the nation, but around the world. We interviewed this past summer a gentleman from Japan, and he really gave us some great insights. So you've got authors literally from around the world coming to the Soulful Chicago Book Fair. So welcome today on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show.
Thank you, thank you. We love global. We got to do it global.
Absolutely. So for our listening and viewing audience who has not yet experienced the Soulful Chicago Book Fair, tell us a bit about it, how you got it started, and what it represents each season that you do this book fair.
Sure. So the Soulful Chicago Book Fair is a magnanimous, fabulous experience for writers. You know, I'm not this person who, let me take these off. I don't need them right now. It's not about, it's about a lot of things because it does literacy. It does the literary arts. It's something that I've been commissioned to do. I didn't grow up as a child like, I gotta do a book fair. You know, it's just that the creator has put me in a lot of literary circles in my travels in life. And so I love Chicago. Chicago is the birthplace of so many prominent Black writers, whether it be Gwendolyn Brooks, whether it be Lorraine Hansberry, Richard Wright. It only makes sense that there be a celebration of Black writers in this city. And I'm from New York, so you hear my accent. But I come from the Harlem Book Fair experience. And so this notion, and that was like in the late 90s, so this notion of having a celebration for Black writers was a thing because I come out of that. But when I came to Chicago, and I went to Northwestern, but I graduated in 97, didn't do anything then. But when I came back in 2014, you're talking about just the question, like, where are the events for Black writers that we own, that we do? And being an author myself, I just saw the need. That's kind of like the reality for the Soulful Chicago Book Fair. It's created by an author. And so I make sure that as an event, it does that. It caters to authors. It's an author-centric experience, right, to where I want authors to have no problems, have no bumps. And I've gotten that feedback. And so I just saw the need to create not only this event, it's sort of like this. Being from New York, we're about hype. Apollo Theater, Broadway, you know. But Chicago is not like that. A person will be a great writer, and they'll be a great writer. But the showmanship and the creating an event is not necessarily Chicago is about. There are some veterans out there, like Donna Beasley. She used to do a book fair here in Chicago over at the South Shore Cultural Center. And I just wanted to create something that celebrated us and had us tell our story as Black people according to ourselves. You know, we always, you know, complain about, oh, this is how they portray us in media. Nobody care about how nobody portray us in media. Who cares? Everybody can do what they want to do. But we can take responsibility for ourselves and making sure that we present ourselves well. And so that's what the Soulful Chicago Book Fair does. I make sure it's organized by genre. So you have a fiction area, you have a children's area, and you have a nonfiction area, and it's in the community. If you're in Chicago, or even if you're not, there are parts of Chicago that are kind of seen as being literal, you know, they're into literary things, you know, the Hyde Park areas near the college and all that. But I'm like, we read past Hyde Park. That's where you read on the south side. And, man, doing this Soulful Chicago Book Fair, I cannot tell you how many writers are just right here in Chicago. And like Naima said earlier, our book fair is becoming so well known that I heard that even in New York, they're like, you got to go to Chicago's book fair. And so, you know, we're getting this reputation for having great events that you do tremendous networking. I've had people come and bring, like, I don't know, 60, like 70 books and sell 60-something books on their first run. And so it's just an experience unlike any other because I make sure that it's exciting. And our next one is going to be December 16th, which is the Soulful Chicago Holiday Book Fair. And I chose to do that. We've done that for as many years as we've been around, and that's been 5 years. But the Holiday Book Fair is just that. It's like we do so much. I don't care if it's Christmas, Kwanzaa. You might even do Hanukkah. We got our Hebrews out there. You know, but this is a celebration for us to take this time of year and be able to get gifts that aren't, you know, toys or slippers, or but that last a lifetime and reflect so many ideas and so many experiences. The Holiday Book Fair is just the bomb. And this year is going to take place at the Betty Shabazz Academy on 78th and Ellis. So we just love and keeping it in the hood. We love being responsible for where do you find a black book? Because if you go to some of the mainstream stores, it might be a while, unless it's Black History Month. They might have a Black History display. But we're talking about some straight up always access to our people and our stories. And I just love it because there's void. And my thing is, when there's a void, fill it. So that's what the book fair does.
There you go. When there's a void, fill it. That's what we're here to do. Well, I know we got a large listening audience from St. Louis. I can hear some people planning that trip. It's only about 4.5 hours. So if you want to come on down December 16th and attend the Soulful Chicago Holiday Book Fair, you can do it.
Do it. That's right.
So one of the things that always excites me about the book fair is that you feature a lot of good local talent, and I think that helps people get exposure, especially those artists that have consciousness. And it's a whole consciousness kind of atmosphere because we know that, you know, our culture really can influence the world. So tell us about some of the other features going on at the Soulful Chicago Holiday Book Fair at the Betty Shabazz Academy.
Still had the glasses back on, acting like I could see. Girl, you can't read.
I know, we both trying to act like we ain't old, y'all. We had to put the glasses on so we can read stuff.
The book fair is going to be no joke. We not only have authors flying in because the Kwanamaru from Japan is flying back in. And loves the Chicago energy. He's actually going to be featured 3 days in 3 different places. He's going to be on Friday night at the Sensei Boba Tea Bar with a youth group called CEO Superheroes. Those young people have read the book. It's 21st Century Japan Decoded, and there'll be a dialogue between him and some young folks. So that's on Friday night about 6 o'clock, and that's going to be at the Sensei Boba Tea Bar on Exchange and 72nd. And then, of course, he's going to rock with us on Saturday. He actually is going to be doing a presentation at 2 o'clock at the Soulful Chicago Book Fair right at Betty Shabazz on 678th Street in Ellis. And then he's going to be rocking at the Whitney Young Library on 79th Street in King Drive. So you're talking about, you know, we are the reason why the brother's coming to America, but he now will be touching other places that really stemmed from his experience here in the summer when he came to our book fair. So we're going to have him at 2 o'clock. And then, for those of you who know Diana Washington, her niece is going to be at the book fair and singing. Yes, we got some vocal literary loveliness, and she's going to be coming and singing. And has a children's book about Diana Washington, so she's going to be there rocking and rolling doing that. And we know I love to dance. So at 3 o'clock, we're gonna have Dwayne Powell spinning. We know I love to dance. So I'm gonna squeeze him in there, of course, so that he can provide that energy and that music that just gets us moving and it's really about our people. He plays music for our people that just get us rolling. And so, and I'm there also at Day Shabazz is a troupe of young people like the Jesse White Tumblers that do those flips, and they may be performing for us as well. So it's just going to be more than people buying books, because that's the main thing. People are buying books. And for those of you that aren't readers, see, it's bigger than, oh, I don't feel like buying a book, or I'm not interested in buying a book, or whatever, or the myth that black people don't read. You know, you talk about if you want to hide something from a black person, put it in a book. Let me tell you something new. If it's not black readers out there, sure are hundreds of black writers. So that's weird to me. How does that work where people keep writing, but then they're not reading? No, we are out here reading. We're the ones who created reading. Let's be clear on that, right? And handwriting, let's be clear on that. But the main thing and something that we stand for is that here in America, at some point, you had anti-literacy laws created so that black people wouldn't read. And I'm talking about brutal treatment if you got caught reading, whether it was fingers cut off, eyes taken out. I don't know all of their heinous crimes, but the reality is those anti-literacy laws, we are going to debunk that. That's what we do. So you come to the book fair because you stand for something that we need to reinstill. We need to reinstill our life reading, our life telling stories. I used to have a show here on Naima's set called Gathering of the Griots. Now, we tell the stories. And so the book fair is really about that. It's about what stories are we out there telling. We are out there telling fiction stories. We're out there. There's so many good journals in this exhibit. People that made journals for us to use for different reasons and to track our health and to track our professional development and to track our spiritual development. And there are young authors. One brother made a coloring book with all the illustrations done by him, Alex Applewhite. So, I mean, you just got young people, you got energy, you got entertainment. Ooh, and the food. Ooh. The food is being done by Veggie Brunch, which is right here out of Chicago and is a vegan cuisine company, and the food is fabulous. You know I'm a vegan, so you know that's on the roll. But I'm going to make it so that you are going to love what you eat, and people love her food. That's Angela Joseph, who's the CEO of Veggie Brunch. So, yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be more than just walking around seeing books. You'll be buying books. You'll be dancing. You'll be, I mean, I just make it a big party. That's what I do. I party in life. So I just make it a big book party. That's what we're going to do.
Yes. Well, I am excited because I know I talked to the young man who organized, you know, who coaches the tumbling team. He used to be with the Jesse White Tumblers, so I know they know how to put on a show.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to seeing them perform, seeing how he has worked with the students and gotten them to the level of magnificence that we're always used to seeing when we see these tumbling acts. So it's really exciting, and as you can hear, there are a lot of things going on. It's not just books and the good food, because, you know, I'm vegan too, so I know, hey, that's the best. It's good, healthy food. And also, it's a chance to showcase some of our food producers, you know, those who have restaurants, those who have businesses that are helping to restore our community to health. So I'm really grateful for that. It's an all-around, like you said, a party over here. So if you're not in Chicago, you need to come here and be here December 16th.
No doubt about it. It's more, you know, this is a, if you want our people to do better,
mm-hmm.
nobody wants to hear, you got to read, go vote. People fought for our, like that obligatory, I just, you feel obligated to do it, like it's a job. Nobody wants to do that. our lighters and celebrate reading. Let's celebrate. Now, that's my whole thing. You know, no on my pulpit talking to you about what you should be doing or my soapbox, rather, you know. But an event that you could really come to and feel, you know, and I love all that to talk to the young people. Naima, first of all, let me give major props to Naima. We're not going to sit here acting like Naima didn't help you get the location for the event this year. Because, I mean, I felt like Mary and Joseph, they was like, there's no room in there.
Nowhere to go.
Because we thought it was going to be one place and thought it was going to be another place. But when Naima suggested the Betty Shabazz School, they just really welcomed me with open arms. And, I mean, when I came there the other day and saw all my people, it was like Naima was there.
Yeah, that was perfect.
And my
girl
Samaya was there. It really reflects what the book says about. You got a Dinkra symbols everywhere, rocking the Ghanaian energy. I was able to come in with the kids and say, I go. And they was like, I'm A. They just knew the
vibe. Yeah, like, okay, I'm home.
Yeah, so it was cool. It's going to be just what it is because of the chemistry that created that people are going to come. And the energy of those young people that day, man, I just love young black people. They make me so happy. And so to be there and to, you know, express to them that we're going to be in their house on December 15th was bar none very, very, very exciting. And, yeah, it's just, it's what it is. You know, nobody is in control of our future. We are in control.
We are in control.
We are in control. And so that's what this is about, being in control of the narrative.
Yeah.
Literally, through writing, we control the narrative. And we tell the story. So, yeah, no doubt. That's all the stuff that's going on and maybe more.
All righty. We're going to take a quick break and come right back, take some of your calls and share some of your comments. And, of course, if you want a visual image of the beautiful Asada, you can join us live on Facebook. Go to The Female Solution or on YouTube, The Female Solution, and you will see her bright and shining face. And if you would like to make a comment or maybe ask a question about some of the authors that are going to be there, or if you're an author, find out how you can register for the next event so that you can have your book highlighted. And we'll be right back to talk about some of the authors you can expect and what you can expect from some of our young podcast students that are going to be doing some interviews. So we'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Mark your calendars for the 2023 Muslim Journals, A Time to Be Grateful, coming to North New Jersey, December 7th through the 10th. A Time to Be Grateful is MJ's annual fundraiser to raise awareness about the publication and increase subscriptions, advertisements, and distributors. ATTBG features a weekend of events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development, including Culture Night, which showcases Muslim singers, musicians, and spoken word artists, a modest yet ultra-stylish family fashion show luncheon, an awards banquet, business breakfast, marketplace with Muslim vendors, and more. Don't wait. Get your tickets today. Visit www.masjidalhaq.com or call 862-250-5451. Hope to see you there.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Afar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360, inviting you to join us every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. for Narrative Aspiration. Believe in yourself and you will find a creative innovation that will ease your mind. Educate yourself. What path will you take? Will you be wise in the decisions you make? Set your standards high. Don't settle for less. You have the power to be the best. You will succeed. You have what it takes. Make your intention and step out on faith. Knowledge is power. Wisdom supreme. Success inevitable with a well-balanced routine. Exercise, eat healthy. Keep your mind and body pure. You will be amazed at what you endure. Be assertive when it comes to your life, because no one else will do it just right. Unlock the door. You have the keys in yourself. You must believe. Join us again for Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
Lookspeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo.
Assalamu alaikum. Al-Mufanil Islamic Center in St. Louis welcomes you to our second annual Courtship, Marriage, and Family Life Conference, themed Understanding the Significance of Courtship to Produce Healthy and Harmonious Marriage and Family Life. Join us March 20th, 21st, and 22nd, 2020 at the Luxury Hilton Airport Hotel. We have an educational and festive weekend planned for you, starting with Salatul Juma, followed by a beautiful vow renewal ceremony. Then come together for games and family activity. Later, let's jam and strut for a culture night and an Afrocentric fashion show. Saturday, take notes as we provide you with informative workshops and presentations. Then singles can pursue a mate at our singles social. We'll end the evening with an elegant award banquet honoring the sacred institution of marriage and a powerful keynote address by our guest speaker, Anissa Duan. Sunday, we'll wrap up our weekend with a panel discussion and talim. Hurry and take advantage of our early bird specials, which end January the 31st. To pre-register, visit 20...
Unfortunately, that program that we are announcing was canceled. That was pre-COVID. Praise be to Allah. That was pre-COVID, and we had to cancel that wonderful, wonderful marriage conference here in St. Louis. But inshallah, we hope to once again schedule a conference around courtship and marriage and the strength of the family. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah.
Week training class for 12 weeks. We were at the Betty Shabazz Charter School, and we met some fabulous young people who are intelligent, articulate, and really into becoming some podcasters, some broadcasters, because we're radio and TV. We're both visual and audio. And so they learn the skills of how to manage and organize a show, how to carry a conversation. It's not as easy as you think. And we went live every Wednesday, 2 p.m. to 2:15 p.m. with various guests. We had a chance to interview some people from other countries. They had a chance to interview me while I was in South Korea, and some of the people from some Africans and people who were involved in some global efforts toward higher education. And they really had a chance to get a global perspective. So on Saturday at the book fair, we're going to have them interviewing some of the authors there. So number one, they can get an appreciation of how you take your story and put it in book form so that you can reach all over the world. And they'll also get a chance to be inspired because Asada, your daughter, published her first book at the age of 7.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to, and I know she works with you all the time, so she's going to be there at the book fair, correct?
You know, it's so funny. She's going to be there, but she got asked to speak somewhere that morning.
Mm.
So, you know, the life of, I told her, no, you will not. It's like going to speak to college students. I told her, nope, I want you to do that.
Yeah.
That's part of your life and,
You
know, being booked. And then you can come later and help service your mother, you know. So later in the day, she will be there. She's the one that actually runs our booth at the book fair and sells her book, but she also sells her mom's books.
Yay, thank you, Christian.
But she'll be there later in the day. Mommy got to hold it down for the earlier part of the day.
Well, I know when she's there, she's always working, so I didn't want to book her to do an interview because I know she's got to be working, but I do want them to meet her and know about her so they can be inspired to know that you're never too young to start writing and be an author. Because,
she might be there for that time. If they do stuff at, like, 2 o'clock, I think she will be present. She'll be one of the young authors, but one of the other young authors that they probably want to touch base with, his name is Alex Applewhite. And the name of his book is Kid Dynamo. That boy does not play. I mean, his ability to draw his characters created this coloring book. But I'm telling you, when you meet him, he is so, like, in your face, like, hi, you want to buy this book? Like, he has no fear of promoting his book. And he has even created an animated version of the characters. So I'm like, he just sits there and creates. And so I do see a very bright future for him in terms of just merchandise. And he has a type of product that on Saturday morning kids are watching.
Wow.
They're watching that program. It looks like anime, Japanese anime. And so he has a relationship with Takuan Amaru. And when you look at his characters, like, in digital form, all the descriptions are in Japanese.
Wow.
And I was like, I sent it to Taquan and like, can you read this?
Translate, please.
And he was like, it's on point. He was like, who wrote this? Who are these characters? So just very impressed by Alex Applewhite as well and his ability to rock and roll as a young author. He is burgeoning. So, they'll have some good stuff, some great people to connect to and interview for sure.
That's great. Well, this is going to be during our third Saturday regular show, Move Around with Deborah. So I know she wants us to target a couple of authors that deal with travel and, things like that. Perhaps, the whole going abroad experience and people who have had some experiences that bring other cultural influences so they can give the young people a perspective of the world that they don't always get. So, she's definitely looking forward to hearing from and talking to and helping the students there see how you go about drawing out those questions and those answers from authors and giving them a chance to expound, because we've got 2 whole hours instead of their regular 15 minutes. So we're going to have several different groups of students doing the interviewing, but we'll also get a chance to show a broad array of the authors that are there. And I'm excited to talk to many of them who maybe traveled a distance to get here because they wanted to be a part of this book fair. You know, how important was it for you to meet this Chicago audience and be a part of an event that is so widely celebrated? And we're excited about that as well.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, for me personally, this is a lot of work, right? Mm-hmm.
I know. I've watched you work, and you're talking about Adam Ant, this woman. I'm like, I don't believe she did that. I mean, she's moving stuff. She ain't about 4 feet tall, y'all. And she's moving stuff all over the place and, you know, hauling things. And I'm like, okay, I don't know where that energy comes from, but you make it happen every year.
Yeah. It's a lot of work, and it's not daunting work, right? Mm-hmm. But people need to understand the magnitude, not of what it takes, but of where we're going.
Yes.
Because I'm already on tomorrow. I'm already on the future of what this is. And what I've created thus far is, like, authors really have a good time at our event. Even if they don't sell a whole lot of books, the connections, I mean, Taquan got the connection with the library on 79th Street because an author that was at the summer event,
wow,
that my father is the branch manager at this library. And you need,
wow,
to have
them. Wow.
And so not only did they meet, they conjured up the event that they're going to have. Like, it's an environment where an author wants to be there. Like, that's what you want. You want to be in that environment. You want to be there to sell your books for sure. And I always work with authors to present well. Like, I'm an author, so this is not about I'm so dope. This is about you. We all dope. You and this, you part of the family if you part of the Soulful Chicago Book Fair on any level like that. And so we're talking about magnitude. I had a conversation the other day with my daughter. We went to eat together for dinner, and I asked her, if you could be a mogul, what would you be a mogul in, right? And have her think about that, because I told her I'm on mogul mode right now. Like, how and what will I do to make this book experience so magnanimous that the whole, like, it reverberates throughout the world? Like, you've got to touch that experience. You've got to go to a Soulful Chicago Book Fair. It creates that. And I need it just rolling. Our not-for-profit organization is the Soulful Book Fair Foundation. And if you go to soulfulbookfairfoundation.org, yo, you're going to see how we really roll. Like, what we're doing is not just setting up events for people to sell books, but, like, we have these four pillars, and one of them that's so important to me is to enhance the literary marketplace for Black writers. We're not going to act like we don't have to pay rent, pay tuition, do all these different things, but this is something, like, Barnes & Noble and all of them started at a level, and now they're at that level. But we're talking about the Soulful Chicago Book Fair being the resource for Black writers for real in the schools, in the colleges. Like, people know if they want to find Black literature, they're going to go to Soulful Chicago Book Fair. You can go to our website right now, soulfulchicagobookfair.com, and you could go to where it says events and books, and you could literally buy their books right now just by going to that. And that's what we're going to do, enhance the literary marketplace so that we can live well. I think that Black writers, I think we've got a self-esteem issue. Like, we don't think that our books will sell because of these different myths around Black people don't read this and that. But no, we're the rarest form of a human being, baby, because you got that spiritual energy in us that comes from being melanated, and that then gets translated into book form. That's what you're in there getting, you see. And so just the magnanimousness, that's my word, magnanimousness of us in the book industry, that is what we're coming to be a part of. Not support the writers. I ain't talking about no charity. We're talking about how we're going to uplift our people.
I'm
only
going to
uplift our people if we support our storytelling.
Yeah.
And our own version of ourselves. And that's what this is about, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, I know our co-host, Kareem Hameed, has some words. And of course, we've got some callers that want to speak. Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, this is wonderful, Asana, that you have the annual Chicago Soulful Book Fair every year. It's a wonderful opportunity for exposure of the artists and authors from around the world. Praise be to Almighty God,
Chicago is a metropolitan center. It is a metropolitan city. It attracts people from all over the world. And this event leaves exposure to the international market, not just Chicago, but the international market. And literacy, to share with the world our literacy and our thought-provoking subject matter. We intend to educate and share our shared thought, our shared perspective, be it fiction or nonfiction. Praise be to Almighty God. We are grateful for the exposure of the artists and authors that are among us. We want to preserve our story and our history and our authorship and our thought processes. You know, that statement, reading is fundamental. Reading is fundamental. It definitely is. But I'm one that break words down. I separate words because usually words are a conglomeration of multiple words. When we say fundamental, it's fun, ebonically, duh, mental. It is fun to educate our thought processes, expand our horizons, and that is done through shared thought. And this is a wonderful occasion that you hold every year at the Soulful Chicago Book Fair. We applaud this effort every year, and we pray for its success. So I'll stop right there, but we thank Almighty God for you, and may he continue to bless your work and those that are with you in sharing and exposing the authorship and the artists that are among us, that we are not just a, how can I say, a bland monolithic ethnic group. No, we are multiplicit in our thoughts, our thinking, our perspectives, our dreams, and we're grateful to you for sharing that with us every year, the Chicago Soulful Book Fair. We hope that everyone attends and take part in this wonderful international event. It may be held in Chicago, but this is an international event.
Yes, it is.
With authors around the world. Thank you, my sister. May God continue to bless you. And Naima, what a wonderful guest you have invited this Wednesday morning. Stop right there, my sister.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. Yes. Yeah, and, you know, we always look at ways that we can expand our thinking and change our thinking. And I like what you said. It's not about us taking control of the narrative and changing the narrative. We know that some horrible things happened that discouraged us from reading. And it took a few generations for us to undo the fear of literacy. But now that we have, rather than us keep going back and repeating things, people say, we're going to hire some of the black people, put it in a book. That's not the truth anymore. And I love something that you said one time I heard you speak when you were talking about, this is a generation that writes more than anybody. What are we doing on our phones all the time? Texting, reading. So we actually are writers. We actually are communicating through the written word. We actually are reading, and we're doing it more than anybody else because if you've been around a young person, you know, they're always in their phone texting. But that means you're writing. You're putting your thoughts into words so they can be read and sent other places. So we don't have that mentality anymore where we can't read or we don't know how to read. And even some of the rappers, if you listen to how they put words together, you got to have a major vocabulary to come up with some of the things that they come up with and make it rhyme and be on beat. I mean, that is some serious mental capacity. So I think we need to change what we're saying about ourselves to ourselves
so that we can know that we've got some amazing talent, skills, and abilities, and yes, we are very literary people.
Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all, come on now. You already know. What? Hip-hop and rap, that's all it's about is words and how you are constructing words in a rhythmic form. Like, are you serious right now? We have a workshop that's affiliated, because that's one of the other pillars of our not-for-profit, the Soulful Bouquet Foundation, is to help force the growth with young writers, right? And so we have a workshop called Phone Book where they take they got content in their phones because they text all the time. But we have them change that content into poems, raps, skits, whatever they want. It's got to be clean. But the content's already in your social media and in your text to other people. So now take that and create it into something that is, you know, marketable, something that you can share with others. So we have them do that. And we also have them look at, like, we always talk about, they talk in emojis and all that. Stop acting like we didn't have hieroglyphics. Like, what? We've always written in we've have a history of writing in hieroglyphics. They're symbols. Words are symbols. Words are symbols that, and this is Scientology coming out. Words are symbols, but they represent ideas and thoughts, and you put them together to create that concept that you want to get across. And so big time, you know, when I say, you know, I do future, we got offered, when COVID came and I couldn't do the book fair outside, I had a good rest for 2020. Ooh, that was needed. And then 2021, I was getting ready to still do some resting, and God was like, what you doing? What you think you're doing? Get up and create an opportunity. So we still couldn't go out to do events yet, right, because of social distancing. But I created the book fair in the metaverse so that no matter what, you could experience the book fair. And that is how Tokuanamaru from Japan got involved. Because he was in Japan and thought it was going to be a metaverse book fair, and he was like, I got to be a part of that. So he did a presentation in there. Others did poetry, did book discussions, all of that. And we got asked very recently, and I'm going to put this loud and wide in the details at the book fair, but we've got asked by the company that does the metaverse to be a permanent fixture in the metaverse so that we can be promoting what we do as a people through the metaverse and hitting the globe for real. So we're going to put that on blast at the book fair and show the details of that. And when I say put us in the metaverse, people are like, what is that? It's like having a society in the computer, but you don't have to worry about racism. You ain't got to worry about violence. You don't have to worry about drug selling. You don't have to worry about any of that. It's an environment that we create, and you're a little avatar moving around. And I'm going to make sure that we have access to our books, that people could just touch a button and buy the books through the metaverse. So, our people not fully ready, but the goal is to get us ready for metaverse commerce.
Metaverse.
It's no joke. It's like you don't have to worry about finding parking. It's going to take me an hour to get there. No. I used to tell our authors that we were there for like 6 months, in like from February to July or August in 2022. And it was like, if I said, meet me in the metaverse, people were there in like 1 or 2 minutes. And we would have a meeting. That's the type of meeting we need, where it eliminates time and effort, and then we can get together and talk, plan, and do all of that in a metaverse environment. So that's where we're going. Like, we're about to be a major Black literary force in the metaverse.
There you go. Yes. Well, you know, we just launched yesterday a show entitled Shop with Zoe and our new Tuesday host from China. and she's going to be introducing products and showing people how to do international business online. And this is where the world is headed. We're all connected, one world community. We can reach out just like we're doing right now. And, you know, we get calls, comments from countries all over the world because the Internet is global. And we're in real time. So even though it is 8 a.m. here in Chicago, and our Sunday, our first Saturday host out of London, it's 6 hours ahead where she is. But when we communicate, it's all time is right now. So when you exist in reality, in a different kind of reality where it is not based on physical space, that's a whole different way of thinking. I can contact you. We can have a meeting. You're halfway around the world. We can have a business deal. You're halfway around the world. But we can communicate in real time right now. We can buy and sell on a screen, and you don't have to physically be there. So our children are growing up in that kind of a world. So that's why we don't want to limit their thinking and have them believing that they are bound by somebody else's limited perceptions of who they are. This is not the world that they're growing up with. It's a different world than where you come from. I mean, okay, yes. YouTube, don't take me off because I, you know, sang somebody else's copyrighted work. But, but you know, this is the time for us to undo a lot of the limited belief systems that we grew up with. Because the world has changed, and so we have to adjust our thinking so that we don't see those limitations, because there are none.
There are none. Stop playing, y'all. Y'all just fearful.
Yeah.
Everybody that's watching this, listening to this, you have a book up your sleeve. I already know it.
Mm-hmm.
And you were sent to the planet to tell a story or to instruct based on your experience. Whether you was abused, whether you got married full term, whether you had the best love ever, whatever it is, whether you cook well, you need to show us how to eat healthy, you have a book up your sleeve. And that's what a book is about. It is about, it's not about you, first of all. So the fear that you have for getting it out, it's not about you. It's about what you have to share with people.
Ooh,
they know better how to do a thing.
Yes.
Or to watch and be inspired by you. And so whatever fear you have, you need to get rid of it because you're not listening. Don't tell me you believe in God if you're scared to do your idea. Don't tell me that.
Ooh,
that's a slap in the face to me, to God, if you're not doing what you was put on the planet to do.
Ooh, I like that thought.
I believe you can do it through a book. That's my lane. If you want to do it through a book, all y'all ain't got to call me and be like, I want to do a book. Be ready, because I'm not playing with you. For real. I'm going to help you take it from thought to actual book. And you could talk to authors that I've helped do that. That's what I do. And I help you overcome that fear and put it out to the world.
But you know, I would love to have, first of all, it's at the top of the hour. Can you stay with us for the next hour? Okay.
Of course. Yep.
All right. Okay. Well, when we come back, we got to take another break. When we come back, I'd like you to give us a snippet of what you do in terms of, or how you take somebody who has an idea, and maybe they're scared, or they got that thing, well, you know, I'm not really a writer, but they've got a fantastic life story that needs to be told. How do you help them in that process, getting from the idea in their head and the experiences that they have in their memory to a book that actually tells that story? If you can give us a little bit of insight on that. And we'll be right back after this brief break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Mark your calendars for the 2023 Muslim Journals of Time to Be Grateful, coming to North New Jersey, December 7th through the 10th. A Time to Be Grateful is MJ's annual fundraiser to raise awareness about the publication and increase subscriptions, advertisements, and distributors. ATTBG features a weekend of events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development, including Culture Night, which showcases Muslim singers, musicians, and spoken word artists. A modest yet ultra-stylish family fashion show luncheon, an awards banquet, business breakfast, marketplace with Muslim vendors, and more. Don't wait. Get your tickets today. Visit www.masjidalhaq.com or call 862-250-5451. Hope to see you there.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Mikhail Ukda, Assistant Imam of Masjid Al-Halim, New Medina, Mississippi, asking you to join me in supporting Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
On the next episode of Community Buzz, we ask, have you heard? For another episode of Community Buzz, AM360's weekly magazine show, every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Don't miss it. Assalamu alaikum.
My mother wrote all the time. Matter of fact, her and my father had an interesting partnership, you know, when he would have issues on the job. He worked at the post office, so, you know, they about to drive him crazy. But she would be the one that would write those complaint letters, and I remember that even as a small child, you're typing letters out and stuff and sending them to the management and all that. So she was a writer, and, you know, valedictorian of her high school and of her grammar school. She was really into writing. And then my father, he got us started writing. I guess they had these little books that were probably like ledgers or whatever, you know, books that were empties that said pages with lines on them. So I guess there was something they were going to throw out. So he took them home, maybe like six or seven of them, and gave them to us. Well, when you have a book with blank pages and lines, that means you write. So my sisters got started early on, like, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, writing stories. And that's how we got started. And then, of course, you know, I was the youngest, so I'm going to follow suit and start writing my stories. So literary talent, just, you know, it was an early part of my growing up. And we always had a whole bunch of books. And my three sisters and I, we recently embarked on writing a book together about our life growing up, called Growing Up Charles, which is our last name. And so the process of telling your story is really interesting because you start thinking about, like you were saying, how do you share your experience in such a way that you know someone can benefit from what you learn? So, you know, getting past the, well, am I good enough to write or who will listen to me, to thinking, you know, I came here to this planet to do something and to leave a mark. So how can people be enhanced by what I'm telling them about what I've lived or what I've seen or even what I've imagined? So I know a lot of people, they don't see themselves as writers, even though they really have a story. And I got several friends that I'm constantly telling them, you need to write a book because you got, I mean, your life is something else. How do you get people from that point? And a lot of people say, I want to write a book, but they never get it done. You know, and they go to the grave and all that they've had is gone with them. How do you get people from that point of idea to where they can organize it and it ends up in book form?
Yeah, first of all, y'all have to write from your heart. Do not think about who it's going to impact and all of that. That comes, but it's not the main thing to focus on. And I think some type of paralysis analysis.
Writer's block or analysis paralysis.
You're analyzing the process too much.
Mm.
And so when I wrote my first book, Feeding Black Kids, I wrote it, first of all, it took me 5 months to get it out, period. But the reason I didn't get writer's block is because I had something to say, and all I had to do was make sure I said it. My first book is not long. It's like 97 pages, a small book, but it sold all around the world. But when I wrote it, I just thought of, what do I have to say? All right. Oh, spare the rod, spoil the child. Got to write. Say what I got to say about that. Oh, you got chosen. Talk about children choosing their parents, right? Okay, that's on the spiritual book. So I just had to write in these little categories, which later became my chapters. They were just topics that I knew I wanted to speak on. And so once I wrote them out and I bought these notebooks that were about the size of the book that were in my book today. And just because they were easier to deal with, and I would write on the train, taking my daughter to school in the morning. So I was in New York, and coming back home in the evening. And so it's not like I sat in my bed and I just wrote. I got an hour and change on the train. I just wrote during that time. But I wrote the book, got it out. In like the third month, I got it edited. Once I got it edited, then I got it to the company. The company that I use for my authors is called Quality Press. It's a Black-owned company. What's up, Yvonne Rose? And she helps my authors get their ideas onto the paper, the editing process they do, the printing process, the whatever you need. Or it's a one-stop shop for getting it done. And they've been doing it for over 2 decades. And so my thing is just get it out of your mind. And I don't care. They're like, I'm not a good writer. Okay, fine. Get a tape recorder and say what you got to say. You know, this is for the section on domestic violence or whatever you want to say. And then it can be transcribed, right? There's enough companies out there now and probably maybe even the Quality Press that'll transcribe your idea. And so the first thing is you got to get out of the fear mode. No more fear. And so get those ideas on paper per topic. And once you get them out per topic, when you start typing it out, that's when you kind of like start organizing it. This is the process I took before I got it to the main company. Just, oh, okay. You catch all the mistakes you made and get to put it in order. But after that, you get it on down, and you could then send that manuscript over to the company and you get it done. And so I think the fear is the biggest part, that you you have to overcome. And that's because sometimes you're writing about things that make you feel vulnerable. I have quite a few sisters who have written books on domestic violence, their experiences going through domestic violence. I got my own experience. I ain't even write about that yet, you know. But I don't have enough to write in a book. But it's a topic, though, topic that women need to know how to handle that emotionally, mentally, and your way, excuse me, your way may be the way that they learn that. That's how, you know, you get over, you know, I wouldn't sit there and write and go, now let me see, I need to tell the world about, you know, you could do that if you want to, but I don't feel like it flows. You know, you have your own experiences, and I feel that there's a flow that you have when you're just talking about the experience with someone, you know, and that will give you a good product to me because it'll have the emotion in it that you want to bestow on the world. I have a love story that I haven't put in a book yet.
Oh, wow, I want to hear that. All right now.
It's so good. It's such a good story because it doesn't involve any anguish or arguing, like it's 3 years of bliss. And I'm going to get to telling that story eventually. What's up, Ernest?
Yes.
If you know of a story that should be told and it's not, and you're not telling, then it's your duty to tell it. That's right.
Yeah, right. She did. I guess that's a quote from Maya Angelou, the great writer who I think I've followed her since I was, when I started reading books. I was like 8 years old when I started reading her books.
Say that again?
I was 8 years old when I first read Maya Angelou's books. So that started me, you know, real early. And then
right,
just followed all of her whole, and her whole life is a series of books. So, Ernest Abdullah says yes.
Okay. That's my boy Ernest, Big E, right there. What's up, Big E? He's actually an artist as well. He was in the metaverse as well.
Mm.
And what should Ernest be telling him? Ernest is my boy. He be telling people he's been 50 for 30 years. Yeah.
I like that. I'm going to use that one.
But I love
when
it was time to get in that metaverse, he did not say, oh, I don't have a computer. He went and bought a laptop and promoted his book in the metaverse and was able to sell his book in the metaverse. And so, my goal, my helping people get from idea to book is just, it's a gift that I personally have, and I can help you see and know, just guide you through the steps of getting it done. And so if one wants to write a book, I'm going to advise you, don't get your cousin Kukulala to edit it.
Get a real editor.
Those books come out, you see them, and you're not. Get professionally done. We could connect you to that. But, it's just a matter of being around people who believe in you. Sometimes family doesn't believe in you, and so you want to do your book, but you're not getting the support you need because they're wondering, not only are they wondering how you're going to do it, they want to make sure you don't tell what their role was. They want to make sure you don't tell the real story. But you can't be worried about that. Don't worry about incriminating people. There are ways that you can talk about things in a different way with different names and all of that. But just get the story out. The people need it. They need what you have to say. And success takes care of itself. You know, you don't worry about any of that. And just come out here to prosper with that intention to prosper.
Yes. I recently worked on a book for an associate, a friend, you know, really like a daughter now to me. She has one of those stories about abuse. And sometimes it's hard telling that story, but then the more people have courage about telling those very painful events in their lives, the more it empowers others who have been shamed into silence. And that's how we begin to change the society. We have to admit what's wrong And you and I both know that in our culture, there's a lot of things like incest, sexual abuse, and it's very deeply emotionally scarring. And when we don't talk about it, it stays there. So we need to be the generation that eradicates it by exposing it so we can heal the hurt and the damage. We've been traumatized by an experience that we had in coming here. And the cruel treatment that ends up being part of even our child-raising experience has damaged us, which, of course, is why your book, Beating Black Kids, was a worldwide success, because the fact that the beating experience was so ritualized in our families, you know, and sometimes comedians laugh at it, yeah, they made me go out and get a switch off the tree to beat my own behind, you know, they laugh about it, but that was some deep stuff. And we need to unlearn that means of parenting, and we can only do it when we can admit that it was wrong, even though it's been in our families for generations. We've traumatized our children, and we need to admit it. So your book even helps in that process of us really looking at that. Okay, yeah, we laugh about getting beat with iron and cords and smacked with shoes, but when are we going to stop doing that? And do we understand? I like how you even broke down what that does to the brain, getting beaten like that, what it literally does to a child's brain.
Yeah, you know, there's a fine line between laughing and crying, real basically. Okay, it's a fine line. And all that laughing, you wasn't laughing when it was happening.
You were
either hating your parents or nobody, y'all stop lying. You were not going, oh, this is great. Oh, yeah, this is teaching me something. Nah, you were getting hit. You generally do not trust people that hit you.
Yeah.
Ask any woman that's been beat by a husband or boyfriend or whatever. But when you look up domestic violence in the dictionary, it doesn't say the violence between a man and a woman or a husband or wife. It says violence in the home.
Yes.
So you hitting those kids, you know, you are participating in domestic violence as well. And so, you know, this topic of, because hitting a child is violating a body. You're violating someone's body. So it mirrors and it parallels molestation. And I do have a book up my sleeve to deal with molestation, because it's a topic we will not touch. But I almost don't know a black woman that has not been molested. I might know five out of hundreds. And so we're going to have to confront that. And look at the whys, and look at the how we ended up overcoming what that created in us. But it made some of us more promiscuous. It made some of us afraid of men or women. It created silencing in the family. I've seen parents who wanted to whistleblow on it be put on medication because the family was able to convince the courts that person was crazy. So anyway, that's a book I have in me that needs to be done so that we can heal from that process and really look at the handling of that and to stop it, thwart its growth, and no more permission for that to happen in the family, because we like to do a hush-hush about that on some dirty laundry, though. But I'm going to approach that. I'm going to do it. But, yeah, so there's just so many stories to be told in our community, and they're not all like about abuse and whatever. We do have stories of triumph. Any story that's worth a story, it always has something bad that happens and then something that you overcome, even in a movie, whatever it is, you know. And so our ability to tell stories, to hear a person say, I'm a writer, I'm an author, I myself had to get used to that. Had to get used to that. Oh, you're an author? Oh, you're an author? And it does something to people. Like, it makes you, like, extremely credible. And
yes.
Even it's like, what? You're an author? So my thing is, good, let's tell stories. You know, there are things we do just as humans, drink water, whatever. We can write water, let's go. Everybody could have a book about themselves or a mm-hmm. book about their experience, and it become a thing where they become an expert in that particular area. Maybe they did do flips in front of their building without having any gymnastic training, but then they got noticed, and then they became our gymnast, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever you want. It's just a matter of you feeling like your story is worth telling, you know, and it's a lot of people. They say, I've had a book in me for X amount of time, but I never knew how to do it. Well, those days are over. If you get to me, I'm going to show you how to do it. Because that's just something I like to do. I like to help people get from idea stage but to an actual physical book. But it's going to be work. Don't play with me. You're not going to come in here and just like, I'm going to write a book and take up my time telling me your story. Mm-hmm. No, you're going to put the story in a book form.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So we're going to get it out there and really make this a big thing. You know, this is a movement. You connect with the Soulful Chicago Book Fair if you want to develop as an artist, if you want mm-hmm. to have a variety of experiences, you want to go in the metaverse. We had our book fair. They had the public library downtown. Our Washington Library had us recreate the book fair inside the main library. Like, that's huge. You know, even the late Eugenie Perkins, he was like, he's a playwright.
Yeah.
Wrote that poem, Hey Black Child. Yeah. But he was like, I've never seen this before. I've never seen the library embrace local black writers before.
Yeah.
You know, and so my thing is, okay, how can I continue to do that? How can I get this whole thing on mobile level? And people just know it feels good to be connected to the Soulful Chicago Book Fair. Some mm-hmm. people been here since the beginning. You got like authors like Amita Mawali. She's been here from the beginning. Tony Lindsay, been here from the beginning. He's a fiction writer. She's a fiction writer. Donna Beasley, been here since the beginning when I had it as an idea. She's a children's writer. So just so many artists that are like in the mix. Rebecca Cole, she's a fiction writer. She's been here from the beginning. So there's a lot of people who I applaud them, and I feel I'm grateful that they see value in the book fair and being a part of what we're doing. Because if you down with me, you up with me, I'm going to make sure you get out there. I'm going to make sure the world knows who you are. Because that's the whole point. You know, we have a move. This is a movement.
And
it's a movement to celebrate and validate black writing.
Yes, it's a movement. Well, we got to take our last break. We've got some callers on the line that want to speak, so we're going to be right back. And Kareem, let us know if you got some callers on your switchboard as well.
I sure will.
All right. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, you can give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. That lets us know you've got something to say. And if you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube, The Female Solution, just write in your comments. We'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we will be right back after this brief message. And, of course, we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. As always, we value you for your contributions to this conversation because your thoughts matter, too. We'll be right back, so stay with us.
Mark your calendars for the 2023 Muslim Journals A Time to Be Grateful coming to Newark, New Jersey, December 7th through the 10th. A Time to Be Grateful is MJ's annual fundraiser to raise awareness about the publication and increase subscriptions, advertisements, and distributors. ATTBG features a weekend of events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development, including Culture Night, which showcases Muslim singers, musicians, and spoken word artists, a modest yet ultra-stylish family fashion show luncheon, an awards banquet, business breakfast, marketplace with Muslim vendors, and more. Don't wait. Get your tickets today. Visit www.masjidalhaq.com or call 862-250-5451. Hope to see you there.
Alhamdulillah,
We shall preempt a regular scheduled programming Saturday so that we can broadcast from a time to be grateful, an on-site broadcast to interview attendees, cover events and workshops. It will be hosted by Martha Naila Abdullah, the Executive Director of the Community Wise Shura Conference, and Sister Latifa Hameen, the CEO of American Muslim 360. So it shall begin at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum, warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Afar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360, inviting you to join us every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. for Narrative Aspirations. Believe in yourself and you will find a creative innovation that will ease your mind. Educate yourself. What path will you take? Will you be wise in the decisions you make? Set your standards high. Don't settle for less. You have the power to be the best. You will succeed. You have what it takes. Make your intentions and step out on faith. Knowledge is power. Wisdom supreme. Success inevitable with a well-balanced routine. Exercise, eat healthy. Keep your mind and body pure. You will be amazed at what you endure. Be assertive when it comes to your life, because no one else will do it just right. Unlock the door. You have the keys in yourself. You must believe. Join us again for Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We'll be here hosting along with our students at Betty Shabazz International Charter School, our podcast students, talking to some fabulous authors at the Soulful Chicago Book Fair. And we're looking forward to this experience because everybody has a story to tell. And when you hear it, it enhances your life. And something about a book, it makes you immortal, because no matter when you transition out of this physical life, that book stays here and continues to influence lives on into eternity. So if you want to be immortalized in your lifetime, put your story in a book.
Nice. I like that. You know, one of the things I love about the book fair, it says a lot when people come back to become authors. And it says a lot about what they feel about what they're doing. But then, my gosh, I can't believe all the new authors that come to the table. It's like I thought I knew them all.
Yeah, well, they're more of the year.
Amazing.
Yes.
It's just amazing. And so, and that's in all genres, you know, new children's writers, new fiction writers, new non-fiction writers. And I'm going to tell y'all, today is the last day to register. If you already registered, pay, like, we closing out everything today. You better
get in there. You're an author. Last chance.
Go to soulfulchicagobookfair.com and go to author submission. Today, the last day, I'm telling you. You do still have an opportunity to be a part. We don't have many tables left, but I would rush to do that. First come, first serve.
All right.
And, man, it's powerful to me because I keep meeting people who have started this journey of, you know, putting out a book and having people support. Yo, you need the people coming to next weekend, is really to be about see for yourself, yo. See the energy for yourself.
Yes.
See all of the when you walk in and you just see us on the front of those books for children and for,
it's very empowering.
It's very empowering. Absolutely. So come see for yourself, and take a ride with us.
Absolutely.
I'm in this for the long haul. Baby.
All right now.
And make it big all day long.
That's right. Well, we've got some callers, and we're going to open your mic, 773-436. Your mic is open. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment for our guest, Asada.
Well, hallelujah. Greetings, Global Transformers.
Uh-oh. Sounds like
can
a writer.
Yes, this is Grand Rising to you all. Now, I'm loving this conversation. But Asada, you know how I feel about that K word. A kid is an animal, beast with four legs. A child is a human being, person with two legs. I encourage everybody to kick that K where it happens. But okay, I'm the ninth child and youngest out of 10 children, and the only one to finish high school in my family.
Wow.
My father wrote his name with an X, and my mother said she was a fifth grade scholar. And I won an International Black Writers Award along with Sam Greenlee, the author of Who Sat by the Door in 1974. And I became a writer because I was too proper to talk. Coming to the North, when I was in the fourth grade, I learned that the word was potato. And I said, pass the potatoes. I didn't say pass the taters. I said, pass the potatoes. Girl, who you think you is? You better say tater just like everybody else. So I learned to write by writing to myself because I was too proper to accept what I was being taught in school and still be accepted at home. So that's how I learned how to write.
Wow. Mama D. So now when your book coming out? Because I know you got to make sure you leave it on this planet before you leave us. Because you got the life story.
Well, you know, I did write several little books that I think I'm going to republish with Hasada's help. The Slave Story and Skit, in which I explain slavery to preschool age children. I also did a black story told in 8 poems. That's what I won the Black Writers Award for. And Gwendolyn Brooks told me, she said, you know, there's a lot of life in this little book. And I find it so interesting how people get involved in things. That's that's a story within itself.
Yes,
Right now I'm working on the mother of Emmett Till Road that resurrected the legacy that was buried for 30 years before Rosa Parks came to the street dedication and said, it's what happened to Emmett that gave me the courage to do what I did. And the rest is history. Mrs. Mamie Till Mobley lived right here in the city of Chicago. She was a school teacher, never a guest at Operation Push, never a NAACP award winner. And his legacy was buried for 30 years. And when I dare to go out there and start commemorating August 28th, 1955, out of the nightmare of Till came the dream, August 28, 1963, of Dr. King. And the vision, August 28, 1818, is when DuSavo, Chicago's under-acclaimed founding father, transitioned. So when you I couldn't, it took 3.5 years to get the street renamed. I was not going for an honorary street. I was going for a real street. Mm-hmm. And because his legacy had been buried, people were really on my back. What you doing that for? Why are you stirring up all that stuff again? These white folks have even brought that stuff back. And that boy don't deserve nothing. That boy didn't mm-hmm. do anything. And it was, you know, you're just driven. And when it comes to
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember the backlash you were getting on that. Well, you know, Mama D, that's your book. That we're and we're looking forward to you getting with Asada to get that in book form, because just that story of how you had to go through that, that's a book in itself. We're going to take some more callers. But,
well, thank
you. Know,
you.
Hey, you know, I know you got a whole lot of books in you. She looks like maybe 50, but she's a few decades older, you know, the result of clean living, right, Mama D?
And I learned that from New Concept Development Center,
about being
a vegetarian.
That's right, right there. Right. Yes. Thanks, Mama D.
I do want to respond and just say my book, Beating Black Kids, I'm not really going to change that, but when we stop treating our children like animals, because that's why people don't like that word kids, but when we stop treating them like animals, then maybe I'll consider changing it. But for now, we treat them like kids and worse.
And maybe that's the statement that needs to go in the book. We treat our children like beasts.
I'm gonna let them do that. I'm very clear on what I'm using, but we need to change our behavior.
Yeah,
so that
we definitely
like that type of behavior.
Absolutely. Yeah, there we go. Well, area code 708-724. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question or comment. Go right ahead.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Brian Vickers. How you doing, Naima?
Hey, Brian, how are you? Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And like our mother there, I'm a bit of a, not just an advocate, but also I'm a bit of a writer and artist myself. Matter of fact, I've been working on a book for quite some time, and I had to kind of shut down production of it because of some personal issues, but I'm hoping in 2024 I will be able to roar and be able to get back to it and hopefully complete it.
In 2024, you'll be able to roar. I like that thought. So when you had to shut down, was that like a writer's block, you know, some personal issues that changed your energy or, you know, do you need, remotivation?
Personal issues, personal and even health, some health issues, and and I'm trying to push past that now to be able to get back on, you know, to be able to get back to work full force.
Mm. So, well, we're looking forward to that.
Well, thank you. And also to something I do want to talk about that I've, and I talked this, talked it over with another colleague of mine, treating children like animals. And Morgan Freeman even said in the movie Lean on Me, if you treat them like animals, that's exactly how they'll behave. Another way of animalistic treatment, as far as I'm concerned, is special education. Because that, in a lot of ways, has proven to be a pipeline to prison. It's also been proven to be what you would call warehousing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. So there's a whole lot in our education system that needs to change. And, you know, this is why I'm so glad that Asada is having the book fair at the Betty Shabazz International Charter School, and that's at 7823 South Ellis. And that's one of the things I was saying during our graduation ceremony with the podcast students there last Friday, is that this is something I want the rest of the nation to see, this school atmosphere. It's a family, community, cultural kind of atmosphere that's nurturing. And you don't see that in the public schools. You don't feel that energy of love in the public schools. The way we treat our children, trying to force them, first of all, to learn irrelevant information, and then second of all, shaming them when they don't know something, and then the fear, the bullying that goes on, and the adults act like, well, that's not my business, you know, handle it yourself. So, you know, just the whole lack of care and the harsh way our children are spoken to. You know, you treat them like animals. Well, what do you expect? So I really want the world to see how this institution has shaped the minds of young people so that they have a confidence in themselves that comes from being nurtured rather than treated like beasts. So I think it's going to be a great experience for the authors to be there, for the families that come to be there, for the people who come to buy the books to be there, and to really change how we're treating each other. And that's how we change the world. So thank you so much, Brian, for the work that you do. He does a lot of work with the wrongfully incarcerated, and that is life-changing as well. So we're looking forward to that book coming out. So keep on working on it. You know, go to Sada's website and, you know, sign up to be
an
author.
We have a call in here.
Okay, we'll go to your switchboard. Thank you so much, Brian. We'll go to your switchboard, and then we'll come back to 773-977 after that. So hold on. Go right ahead. Open the mic for your call.
312-882. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
We're on Yashalom. Who are we? Don't die. We multiply. Black is beautiful and black power. And assalamu alaikum. Minister Plump, Robert Floyd Plump, one of the men on a mission like Imam Kareem. And I am thankful that I am happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise. And I came to right with Mama D in reality of kick the K word. Mama D put that seed in me. Kick the K word is stop beast branding our children. And I know that I know, as Les Brown say, I got a book in me today.
We waiting for your book too, Minister Plump. You know, hey, get with a sign and get ready to start writing and speak it into a recorder or whatever, because we need your story. We've heard some bits and pieces of it, but we definitely want to make sure we hear from you. We got a couple of other callers we want to get to before we go.
I just wanted to say I went to the funeral for Emmett Till, and also I was with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on August the 28th of 1963, and we have celebrated Mama D. Earth Day birthday many times, you know, on August the 28th. So all of that is going to be included in my book Plump Music Production.
All right.
God bless you.
All right.
We love
you,
and I'll be getting rid of a father and doing that. Ain't nothing to
it
but to do it. God bless
you. That's right. There you go. Thanks so much. We appreciate you. Area code 773-977. And, and before you speak, I want to share a comment from Zelda, our Monday morning mindfulness host. She says, Grand Rising Literary Giants, thanks for the reminder to the culture. Teach my sisters. And she says, HLN TV show podcast training at Betty Shabazz International Charter School. Students behave differently. Praise BSCICS. Yes, the Betty Shabazz International Charter School is phenomenal. But it shows what our children have inside of them when we stop treating them like beasts. You're absolutely right. Yes. So, area code 773-977. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Well, good morning to all. Glory be to God. We are talking about something that's allowing people to take their thoughts, their problems, and put it into book form. And I think that we have more problems to worry about than whether we're talking about a kid or what have you. We're talking about the fact that most of our children cannot read, write, make a complete sentence. And in turn, they're placed in incarceration, whereby they've never been given a test, to academic test, to see if they did have a problem, if they could read, write, or count. They don't know. All they know in the prisons, in the hospitals, they know about money. They know how to make that money. That's my, you know, we have to know that read, write, and counting is, if you can't form a complete sentence and you think you're going to write a book or you're going to read a book, you might act like you're reading it, but you won't understand what you're reading. So, you know, a skit or a play or something that they can see and what have you. So the prisons, if they test everyone in the jails today academically, then maybe a psychological evaluation. But the prosecutors are not going to request that. The families don't know how to do it. So that's my thought for the day. And everyone continue writing those thoughts because it's therapy. Once you get it out and you get it on paper, you know, it gives you a relief that, you know, God wants you to have. So God bless you all. Keep on writing and keep on doing what you're doing. But at least if you've been doing it for 5, 10, 15 years and you haven't accomplished anything, you're doing the same thing over and over and over again, talking, and no action. So that's my comment for today. Love you all. This is Lois in Chicago. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Lois. We always appreciate you. You know, there is a...
You know, Naima?
Yes.
You know, it is very important how we address our children. Words are very powerful. Words make, when our children hear us refer to them in a negative way, I'll get your black nappy head stuff over there and sit down. That's formed in us to get our hair conked, to purchase bleaching creams and all of that. So if we can elevate our language in identifying and communicating with our precious possession, our children. Words are very powerful. Thank you.
Nice. Yes, they are. And I think I'm probably going to look to talk to, because I know you probably got some authors there that address some of those issues in terms of positive self-identity in our children, or, you know, some of the issues of colorism that we have in our culture because of the enslavement experience. But then also, like you said, some stories of triumph. You know, what have you overcome? Because I think every book is a story of triumph, of what you have overcome. And definitely words have power. So what we say to our children can either inspire them to strive to be their best, or it can crush them. Now, unfortunately, a lot of us came through the parenting style where our parents believed that if they put us down, that would strengthen us and make us strive harder. And so that parenting style was passed down through generations. It doesn't work. And what was Lois saying, doing the same thing the same way, expecting different results. If you keep putting people down, what they develop is a self-esteem problem. It might manifest in different ways, but it really is low self-esteem, which is why it may become bullies or mean-spirited to other people because they feel badly about themselves. So we want to encouraging language and validating language to our children so that they do feel good about themselves. Now, something that Lois mentioned, and Asada, maybe you can address this, because we found out recently, I didn't know, that they stopped teaching cursive. I don't know if the thought is, well, we don't really need it anymore, or it's old, we don't, you know, it's like old English, you know, you don't use it anymore. I don't know. I just thought, okay, well, if you can't learn cursive, you can't have a signature. So how are you going to sign your driver's license and stuff and your you know, your
right. Yeah. So
you know, what is that?
Yeah. I need us to come to the 23rd century because signatures today are given by a fingerprint.
Mm.
You can't forge that baby.
Yeah.
Because they either doing a retina scan of your eye or a fingerprint. So that's like telling me to play a phonograph to play some music. Stop it and come to the 22nd century. I went to Catholic school. I learned cursive. Yes, I did. And we write in cursive because that's what we were taught. But my daughter's generation wasn't, they're not taught cursive. But I know when you got to open up that phone, you put that fingerprint on there, boop, and it reads your fingerprint. So the way to secure and to identify it is not necessarily the same. We all know that signatures can be forged and blah, blah, blah. But things are changing, guys. Even the money is changing. That paper dollar you use is no longer. They stopped producing paper money April 1st of 2023.
Wow.
We have changed over to the quantum financial system, and it will all be digital, and it will all be controlled. So stop it. All them coins and dollars and don't exist no more. They're going to wean it out. You go to the stores now, and they tell you, we don't accept 20, we don't accept change, all that. That's because the time has changed. So it's different. It's we find that valuable. Like you said, how are we going to do a signature? By your fingerprint?
Which, as you say, as of now, no one has figured out how to forge that.
Hey, so, nobody's going to forge no fingerprint. You know what I'm saying?
They
are not going to be able to do it, nor a retina scan. So, you know, that, and I think we have to really work on our own promotion of myths, because this idea that our kids today can't say a sentence, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with it for the reason I said earlier. These kids are texting. They are typing. There might be some grammatical errors or some spelling, but you can learn that. You can learn how to formulate that.
And they get spell check.
But they have to communicate through, like they have, or else you wouldn't understand them.
Right.
But they're being understood because they're writing every day. So this myth that kids today can't write, yo, I've had people from the prisons promoting my event. Do writing that they can't bear. Wrote their book in there. Go read my boy, Make Me Wanna Holler. He was a prisoner who wrote a book, and it was the bomb. Nate, I forgot the last name, but it's called Make Me Wanna Holler.
I remember. I think I might have that book.
Yeah. That's all clear, and not continue to promote the myth about ourselves, period. You know,
well,
let's deal with the truth. That's all.
Hey, there you go. Words of truth. Well, we're about ready to go. We got we'll come and hear from our third Saturday of the month host, Deborah. Move around with Deborah. She says, Grand Rising all. Thank you, Asada, for allowing Move Around with Deborah to broadcast during the book fair. We're excited. And thanks for the sunrises. You know, if you follow Asada on Facebook, you know, she gives us the morning sunrise image every day. Yes. So we're looking forward to that. And we will be there at the Betty Shabazz International Charter School on Saturday, December 16th. That's 7823 South Ellis Avenue. We want you all to be there to experience. We're going to be for those who may be around the country, around the world, can't physically be there. Then join us right here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. You can bring our image up on screen on Facebook or YouTube, and you'll see the whole place. You'll see the authors. You'll hear their words. You'll hear the interviews. And, of course, our own Deborah will be right there live on the scene, and we want you to be there, too. So thank you so much.
Can I say one last thing?
Yes, ma'am.
If you're not in Chicago, you can still buy their books on our website.
Ooh.
That's SoulChicagoBookFair.com. Go to events and books, and you'll see all the books and their authors, and you can purchase them right there. Don't feel left out. Don't feel left out. So we can let you know that.
All righty. Let's see. We can pull it up on the screen so people can make sure they shop, because we just got through saying, you know, you can buy online anytime.
Sure.
All right. So make sure you get some excellent books through the Soulful Chicago Book Fair. Look out for it on Saturday. And until tomorrow, we want you to continue to shine your light. I'm Naima Latif, and thank you to my fabulous co-host, Kareem Hamid, and American Muslim 360 family. And I look forward to seeing you all tomorrow with Global Students with Dr. Deborah.
Praise be to Allah. This brings to an end the broadcast of the Female Solution, and we are grateful for the wonderful guest, Asada, that is hosting the Soulful Chicago Book Fair. What a wonderful event and a wonderful effort. Praise be to Almighty God. I would like to invite you to tune back into American Muslim 360 this evening at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time for the broadcast of Halal
Order our
Industries.
Book, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution.
So we look forward to your presence here on American Muslim 360 for the broadcast, Halal Industry, Do For Self. We leave you with the greetings of peace, in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and us. And may we remain forever grateful and forever thankful. I bring you now the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatim. We got to be thankful.
Early in the morning, seeing a friend, Melton's fresh fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls in keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and little helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be
grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends I've left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He said, mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough, can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and I think my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright, you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, friends that last forever
rest of your children and your wife. Go back to Cos, and I say the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their fellow men. But they gotta be alright. They gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful. They gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life their life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.